This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Eden Pure. Spring is here, so spring cleaning is here too. Don't wait for the Eden Pure BioSpeed CleanVac to sell out again. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIECLEAN to save an additional $15. Shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code HOWIECLEAN.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. I have one other thing I wanted to add in regards to Ron Klein. He was commenting.
You're a loser.
Well, thank you, Charlie. He was commenting on the Hunter Biden situation, which is really the Joe Biden situation, and how, you know, it has nothing to do with Joe. Joe's hands are clean from this mess. And I think a really good question that George Stephanopoulos missed out on, which should come as a surprise to no one, is, Ron, would you consider Hunter Biden's problems first-class problems? Because they really, I mean, he one time retweeted a Harvard professor who said the supply chain crisis was first-class problems or high-class problems. And, you know, dealing them with 2.8 carat diamonds and millions of dollars from Chinese businessmen, that feels like a high class problem, but a problem nonetheless. All right. Now, I don't want to go too far into that because I want to talk a little bit here about the video. Do you see the video, Jared, of Eric Adams this weekend?
I did. Yeah.
Talk about cringe. So he's with all these...
The Democrats have cornered cringe.
They really have. It's like they're... You know, we always reference that dinner party episode of The Office where Jim says, it's like they're in a competition of who can make the guests the most uncomfortable, and they're both winning. They're all trying to make us uncomfortable, and success, mission accomplished. So Eric Adams is at some club, hangs out with celebrities a lot. Cara Delevingne, the model's next to him. They're, you know, she's dancing. He's no mask on. And the reason I bring this up is because he is still adamant that toddlers should be in masks. On Friday, Mayor Eric Adams and his health commissioner, Ashwin Vasan, announced that children aged 2 to 4 will have to remain masked in daycare and preschool settings. And there's a good piece in the New York Post by Carol Markowitz, who comes on this show a lot, about how absurd this is, how they're the last group of people who have to wear these masks. And he tweeted out, every decision we make is with our children's health and safety in mind. Fact check, false. Can I have a challenge flag on that, sir? Then he said,
that is false.
Children between 2 and 4 should continue to wear their masks in school and daycare come Monday. Now, this is evil, in my opinion. This is just pure evil. And beyond that, if you follow the science, it's stupid. We're still in this COVID for a lot of people. We're still in the pandemic. And as much as a lot of us mentally have moved on from it, because we have to. Remember David Marcus saying, you know, it's not enough to slip out of this cage that we've built for ourselves. We have to break it. Otherwise, we're never going to get past this. And a lot of people have broken that cage. You get a taste of free America, it's hard to go back. Flowers for Algernon. How are you going to keep them down on the farm now that they've seen Paris? So you take the cage off, you live your life, but the ramifications of COVID are still happening for a lot of children. And as evidenced here, COVID restrictions, including the stupidest one of all, the masks, which we know don't work, are still being forced on children ages 2 to 4. Think about that. A 2-year-old who has no idea really what's going on. They're just learning words. They're just learning, you know, about their surroundings. And now they're forced to wear a dirty mask all day long because the science? No, I don't think so. And on top of that, I want to add in something else.
It's science.
If we're talking about COVID, we should also talk about the COVID relief, because that was a big part of this. There was a lot of money involved in this science. There was a lot of money involved in this new cottage industry that is contact tracing. and plexiglass and COVID. And that brings me to a piece that I think you're going to enjoy, Jared. I'm going to list it off for you. And I think the listeners will like this as well, because sometimes you hear these big numbers, you know, all this COVID relief, billions, trillions. Pretty soon you're talking real money. And we always joke around about that graphic, which I think was from the New York Times, but I could be wrong on that, where it was like a pie chart. And they said this much went to this, and this much went to this, and this much went to health, and this much went to hospitals, and this much went to this. And there was a pretty big slice of the pie that went to miscellaneous, which says to me,
I believe it was other.
Other, which says to me, we don't know where that went. You know, we have no idea. That is just floating somewhere. That's just money that we don't know. It's like Hunter Biden money. I don't know where it came from. We don't know where it went, but it was here at some point. Now, I have some answers for you, though. Not for the other, because that's going to take a team of investigators to crack that case. But at The Federalist, Christopher Jacobs has a piece. Here's some of the garbage Democrats funded as COVID relief. Look at Jared's already getting excited.
I hope Tree Equity is in there.
You know, this is the thing, though. When you think it's can't get even more stupid, it does. Like, I remember when they wanted Trump to sign it was some bill with so much pork in it, and he refused to sign it. And I think it was going to like shut down the government or something if he didn't, which most of us hear shutting down the government and we're like, please do. Please. Is that a promise or a threat? Because most of us are on board for that. Could you leave us alone for like 2 weeks? Imagine if the government shut down, how much we could all get accomplished for 2 weeks without these people constantly on our shoulder, just like bothering us. But anyway, so the bill came out. We saw all the pork in it. He didn't end up signing it. But there was stuff for like gender studies in Pakistan. Remember that? That was the one that really stuck out to me. Squirrel studies. And they're always studying hamsters and Lord knows what. This is up there. Okay, this is, again, it's pork, but I want you to keep in mind, it's COVID pork. So it's under the branch or under the tree of COVID relief. Let's start with number one. $1 million to pay off overdue child support in St. Louis. A city memo states that owing child support stops people from looking for work because the overdue payments are garnished from paychecks. The program would empower individuals by paying down a portion. Translation. That's why I like this writer. He does a translation for us. St. Louis is bailing out deadbeat dads who have skipped out on their obligations to their children, a fine way to teach responsible parenting. And better yet, they're not just bailing them out, they're bailing them out with our money. Wow. How is that? Storybook ending. Now, number two, $300,000, and this is a local one, $300,000 for a museum in Worcester, Massachusetts, honoring a famous African-American bicycle rider from the turn of the last century. I know what you're
thinking. Not familiar with this person.
I know what you're thinking, Jared. Well, you clearly have to go to the museum. And I heard that they just came into a little bit of money.
Nice windfall.
Yeah. I know what you're thinking. What is the African-American, the famous African-American bike rider who, just because Jared doesn't know who he is, doesn't mean he's not famous. Bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. You may be thinking, what does that have to do with COVID relief? Well, I'm not here to answer questions. I don't make the rules, okay? I just read you the bullet points. Number three, $5 million for the 2022 World Games in Birmingham, which features niche sporting contests such as dance sport, korfball, and flying disc. I think flying disc is frisbee. Okay. Number four.
Oh, okay. Major Taylor is the bicycle. I did know about Major Taylor. I apologize.
That's okay, but you do need to visit the museum as your repercussions for that. Number five, $6.6 million to replace irrigation systems at two golf courses in Colorado Springs. Number six.
We all know that on the golf course, COVID flows through dirty water. Am I correct?
Yes. You know, we call this pork, but this is really just crap. LOL. Had to get that in. Okay, number six, $2.5 million to hire new parking enforcement officers in Washington, D.C. Okay. Number 7, a $12 million renovation for a minor league baseball stadium in New York. Not even major league. We're going to the minors here. Number 8, $5 million from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to pay off the debts of the Edward M. Kennedy Institute for the U.S. Senate in Boston. Howie, if you're listening, yeah.
I'm chuckling.
If you're listening, I just gave you a segment, okay? Write it down. This is good stuff here. So that's nice. That's the, what is Howie called? The Submersion Institute? Wonderful. Number 9, $15 million in New Jersey to fund upgrades to sweeten the state's bid to host the 2026 World Cup. How is this slowing the spread? How is this even like relief for the times where we were slowing the spread for 15 days or 2 years or however long it was?
Because science, you dumb grandma killer.
Does COVID like not like the World Cup, so COVID will stay
Nobody
away?
Likes the World Cup. I'm not surprised COVID doesn't.
Yeah, that's true. Even COVID has its limits. Number 10, $53,000 to renovate City Hall in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Not a lot of New England stuff here. Greedy. Greedy SOBs.
I lived in Woonsocket for a while. They do need some renovations in that city.
We did not bring you on here to make excuses for the pork.
Saying.
You are a pork apologist. This is like the third thing you've been like, well, yeah, that makes sense. No, Jared. Be stronger than that. Number 11, tens of millions of dollars for tourist marketing campaigns. As if people who felt uncomfortable traveling during COVID need any more incentive to take a much needed vacation. Okay. And number 12. $140 million to fund a 29-story, 800-room hotel in Broward County, Florida that the county will own while a private company will manage. Any of those make sense to anyone? They don't to me. They definitely don't to me. It is pork, pork, and more pork. But what do you expect? And then meanwhile, all this is happening. COVID's still going on. You know, Eric Adams still wants toddlers wearing masks. And then on top of all of that, you have, which Kevin McCarthy pointed out in a tweet, you have the Title 42. He said President Biden is ending Title 42, which prohibits the entry of immigrants who pose health risks, yet Americans are still required to wear masks on planes. And so we're going to have this surge of illegal immigrants who we no longer have the ability, that was the good part about Title 42, you could send people back quickly if they posed a health threat. Can't do that anymore because Tony Blinken tells us, let's play this cut. Tony Blinken claims that once again, we are following the Fauci. I mean, we're following the science. Cut 7.
When it comes to Title 42, all along, we've been following the science. That's what this is about. So when the CDC and others conclude that the science doesn't warrant that, as is now happening, then we'll take action. Here's my focus, and the vice president's focus as well. We're focused on making sure that people throughout our hemisphere have opportunities at home going forward, so they're not faced with this this really hard choice of leaving everything behind and trying to come to the United States. So building that kind of opportunity, creating what one of my colleagues has called a right to remain, is our focus. In the nearer term, the focus I have is trying to make sure that transit countries in particular take steps to make sure that that folks who might come or try to come to the United States through their countries can't do that. So that's what I'm focused on.
And also we're focused on, of course, making sure everyone wears masks on airplanes. Because while we have a flood of people coming over the border, make sure you mask up at the airport. Make sure your two-year-old wears a mask when they go to school. Because we are focused on the important things, says Tony Blinken. How's his Spotify doing, by the way? Any updates on that? Any new additions to the Spotify playlist that I would need to be privy to, Jared?
Well, I'm sure he took in the Grammys last night, so he may have discovered some new artists.
Did you watch?
Have to wait. No.
Yeah, that doesn't
shock me. Not a second.
I watched a little bit. I watched a little bit of Billie Eilish, Olivia Rodrigo, one of Tony Blinken's favorites, actually.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, there were some good performances.
Once I saw Trevor Noah was associated with it, I wasn't going to watch anyway, but I actively blocked it.
Yes. No, I don't blame you. 844-500-4242. We'll get a recap from Howie when he comes on at 250 because he watches every year. It's his favorite program. We'll be right back with your calls. Don't go anywhere. It's 844-500-4242. And here's the crazy part. We're talking about people coming in over the southern border. Well, now Mexico is moving to cut off cheap gas as Americans cross the border to escape the Biden/Putin price hike. So now Mexico is saying, whoa, 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 don't even think about it. This goes the other way. You guys don't start coming in here to get our cheap gas. They couldn't mess it up more if they tried. We'll be right back with your calls. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Kevin, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, Grace, earlier you were reading off a list and of, I guess, wasteful spending, poor crap, whatever you want to call it. Did you mention something about hiring two parking attendants? I thought it was like someone was around five or six.
Yeah, there was parking attendants in D.C. For a park.
And how much was it for those two?
I don't think it was two. It was $2.5 million to hire new parking enforcement officers in Washington, D.C. Oh. And the author points out that he particularly appreciates this investment because if there's one thing Washington needs, it's more government bureaucrats levying arbitrary fines.
Okay. For some reason, the way it came over, I was on the highway. It sounded like you said there were two people, you know, for $1 million. I'm like, I want the job,
yeah.
Please.
I understand. Thanks for the call, Kevin. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who is your, air quotes, favorite rhino? Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney, Chris Sununu, Charlie Baker, or Susan Collins?
Susan Collins, because of the Brett Kavanaugh vote.
Susie's dropping in the polls, like reality, 22%, third place. Second place is Mitt Romney at 29%, and holding the lead in first place, Chris Sununu, 35%.
And I read this headline before we went to break here. Mexico moves to cut off cheap gas as Americans cross border to escape Biden price hike. The Biden border crisis continues to worsen. This is from Red State. And the most inept president in modern history and his war on energy have contributed to increasing gas prices. Our southern neighbor is not happy with Americans crossing the border in search of lower prices at Mexican gas stations. Can you blame us, though? As reported in Reuters, the Mexican government has been subsidizing gasoline to soften price hikes, but it has announced that the policy would be suspended in areas close to the U.S. border this week, citing shortages as more and more Americans hop over to fill their tanks. Hey, by the way, speaking of, I'm wearing my Make Gas Cheap Again shirt. You can get that at gracecurlyshow.com. Click on store. If you are the kind of person who's tempted to cross the border for cheaper gas, this is the shirt for you. And while you're there, you should also check out, we were just referencing this report on COVID relief and really all the pork, the crap that went into it. If you want to read that article and a lot of other articles that I've been referencing today, you can always read Grace's recommended reading. That's at gracecurlyshow.com. So you can get everything there. Get your t-shirts, get your reading done, gracecurlyshow.com. When we get back, Fauci and all of these Democrats love to talk about following the science. And then at the same time, they have no problem with men competing in women's sports. Well, a couple of women got together and they made an excellent move to save women's sports, specifically cycling. We'll be right back with that. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
We were just talking about the gas prices. And actually, you know what, Jared? This is a perfect time for us to talk about this amazing, amazing thing we're doing at gracecurlyshow.com. It's a gas giveaway, and it's brought to you by Tire Tutor, the first e-commerce marketplace for tires, bridging the gap between online shoppers and local tire shops. Your tires affect your gas mileage, and Tire Tutor saves you time and money by finding the tire at a location close to you. And what you have to do is you have to go to gracecurlyshow.com and you sign up for a chance to win $50 in gas money each weekday in April. This is really, really fun for the listeners and exciting, but it's also really cool for us to be able to give away $50 a day on the show for gas. And as you can see by the fact that people are crossing over the Mexican border to, or the southern border to Mexico, to get their cheaper gas prices, it couldn't come at a better time. This is a perfect time to do this. And we had a winner on Friday, Catherine from North Carolina, and she was very excited about it. And now I get to announce our new winner. So today, and again, if you're listening to this and you're going, oh no, I didn't sign up, we're doing it every day in April, every weekday. So just go to gracecurlyshow.com. You sign up. It doesn't cost you anything. You enter to win. The winner for today is Patrick.
You won! You did it!
You won $50 for gas from Howie and Grace. Look for an email from store at Howie Car Show with instructions. Congratulations, Patrick. Make gas cheap again. I want to comment on something else here in regards to this gas conversation. And Jared, I think this might be a Sports Go Sports moment for us.
Sports Go Sports! Athletics are number one! Go team, yeah!
I could be wrong on that, though. I think Shannon Sharp is in...
He is a sports person, yes.
Okay, he's a sports
guy. He was a former NFL player.
ESPN?
Tight end. Yeah, no, he actually works for FS1 now,
okay.
I believe.
Did you see his tweet over the weekend?
Yeah, I did.
He tweeted out a photo of the gas, the price of gas, and how much it cost him to fill up his tank. It was $118. And he said, anyone know someone hiring that owns a gas station? You get a discount if you work at an establishment. Do people still siphon off gas? It was a thing when I was growing up. And a Twitter user wrote back, Shannon, do you still hate Donald? Because he's a big anti-Trumper, Trump derangement syndrome. And he wrote back, I'd rather, no, this is, nothing gets the Trump deranged going more than asking them if they regret voting for Joe Biden. Like, if they're really loving Joe Biden's America, that is an easy way to drive the Trump deranged completely insane. Another one, if you're looking for more tips, is like, bring up Operation Warp Speed. If they talk about the vaccine, be like, yeah, aren't you glad Trump invented it? Don't even say, because technically it was Operation Warp Speed. It wasn't like Trump was in a lab coat. But you know what? If you really want to get them going, just throw that out there. Isn't it nice that Trump came up with the vaccine?
Props to you for taking the Trump vaccine. I don't know that I would have done that.
There's a million ways. We could have a whole show on ways to really poke the Trump deranged bear. But one of them is to say, which this user did, Shannon, do you still hate Donald? And he wrote back, the brave, brave soul that he is. So, so brave. I'd rather pay $20 a gallon than have Trump in office. Hope that answers your question.
Well, good news, Shannon. you're going to love what's coming.
This wasn't a would you rather. You already get to do this. Stephen Miller wrote back, Shannon Sharp is worth $18 million. My man can't bleep talk like he used to. Yeah. You know, they say that inflation, the gas prices, they hurt the lower income people more. If you're worth $18 million, it's nice that you can virtue signal like that. It's nice that you can make that sacrifice. I wonder if you'd ask someone who also didn't vote for Donald Trump, but who isn't worth $18 million, if their hatred for Trump still burns as bright. I'm sure it does. But still, I'm happy for Shannon that he's feeling the sting, but not so much so that it brought him back to reality.
And for sports fans, Shannon Sharp, actually, he is in the very famous clip where he played for the Denver Broncos. He was on the sideline on a phone saying, you need to call in the National Guard because we're killing the Patriots in this game. Call the National Guard. So see, that was Shannon Sharp in that very famous clip.
This is why you're our sports guy. I would have never known that. And this is actually, this also ties into sports and it ties into science. This is in both categories. Transgender cyclist booted from women's championship after female competitors threatened boycott. Now, this was something that a lot of listeners have been weighing in with. And when I talk to people off the air, it is a common consensus that the only way this is going to stop this false reality that we're all partaking in is if the women involved in these sports just simply refuse to compete. Because, you know, by competing, they're kind of going along with this idea that it's even remotely fair. Well, turns out some women decided to do that, and it was a success. These women in the women's championship were threatening to boycott. They didn't actually boycott, but there were rumors, and that was enough for the organization to boot the transgender cyclist. So a biologically male cyclist, you can tell I'm not a biologist, I even struggled with the word, who now identifies as female, was barred from competing in a women's championship race this weekend following threats of boycott from female competitors. Good.
I can do anything. I am strong.
Birthing person, I am uterus haver, I am X. What am I missing? Is there one more that I'm? I am person. I think person's kind of on thin ice though. I feel like person, even there's something there that's not right.
Person X.
Person X. Well, Emily Bridges, who formerly competed against men as Zach Bridges, was cut from the Women's British National Championship on Saturday. The athlete only began hormone therapy last year. Bridges was determined ineligible to compete by the UCI, cycling's governing body, after women threatened to boycott the race. It came after growing backlash from within the sport. And they also say, like, the, you know, they tested the hormone or the testosterone levels, but I think that a big part of this did have to do with the women saying, we're not going to compete. And you saw, they saw success with that. And when we're talking about pronouns and we're talking about I am person X, hear me roar, the pronouns has become a whole debate within itself, where people who use pronouns, and I have no problem with it. I have plenty of friends who have pronouns in their bios. I truly have no issue with it. The problem with the pronouns, if there is a problem, is that it's not enough that someone wants their pronouns to be something else, they, them, whatever. It's the fact that everyone else, if you don't refer to these pronouns, if you just, you know, if you just ignore the pronouns, you become enemy number one. Like, you are the worst person in the world. And there was a little example of this, where a North Carolina medical student, who is no longer working directly with patients for reasons that you will soon understand, she tweeted out, I had a patient I was doing a blood draw on see my pronoun pin and loudly laughed to the staff, she, her, well, of course it is. What other pronouns even are there? It? Del Rosario wrote on her, since her name is Kaishel Del Rosario. And so then she writes about the pronouns. This woman laughed at her pronoun pins, which is a grave sin in the woke world. It was a man who laughed, even worse. Do we know if it was a white man? Because then we have a hate crime on our hands.
I think that's implied in this mandate.
So Del Rosario writes, I missed his vein, so he had to get stuck twice. Well, it turns out, this is a little bit inconvenient for Kaishel, but it turns out people don't like the idea that their medical, that medical students are taking revenge on patients who don't respect pronouns. And there was a bit of backlash for Kaishel. Who would have thunk? And you're seeing the same kind of conversation happening, and it's not just about gender ideology. It's also about other things that are happening in Disney. And I have to read, I hope I can find it here. I've got so much going on this desk. Okay, here we go. I saw this tweet over the weekend and I didn't want to lead the show with it because the Disney stuff's been going on for a while. But Disney's really virtue signaling that they're so offended by this parental rights bill or parental rights law that Governor Ron DeSantis supported, that they're virtue signaling, they're holding all these meetings, and, you know, their employees are striking, yada, yada, yada. And the amazing thing is that this is obviously like the 4,000th time a company has done this. And you could look at the hypocrisy of just the fact that Disney has expanded their programming in countries that are much harsher on gay people than any state in the United States of America. But they don't care about that. They don't care about that hypocrisy because, like the NBA, like all of these other virtue signaling social justice warriors and social justice warrior companies, it's just about, it's just for show. It's just what you can, you know, promote for show. And what Ron DeSantis did was brilliant because he not only didn't back down to Disney, But he started being like, you know, Disney has a lot of perks from being in Florida. Maybe, you know, it'd be a shame if something were to happen to those perks. And by doing that, by pushing back on Disney, what he basically said was, put your money where your mouth is. If you're so offended by this bill that doesn't allow talk about gender ideology between the grades of K through 3, which if anyone besides the liberals were dealing with this, they would say, who has a problem with not teaching this stuff to kids K through 3? Who wants to talk to kids that age about this period, let alone kids who are not their own children? But as you see by teachers walking out of schools in Florida, they have an issue with this. Well, Ron DeSantis threw it back at them, you know, and it's a, yeah, you guys are so offended by this. And I'm just giving you my take on it. But how I see it is, it's like he said, you're so offended by this, Disney. Yeah, you're horrified by this bill, right? Okay, be horrified. Let's see, you know, if you think this is so bad, you know, do what they did with the All-Star game. Refuse to have your business there. Pull Disney out of Florida. Go ahead. Because it's going to be a lot more costly for Disney. It's never going to happen. And I didn't think of this. This dawned on me when I saw this Twitter thread. And I thought, that is so true. And it's exactly what I've been trying to verbalize. This is Jeff B. He wrote, there seems to be this fascinating belief among Twitter progressives that all Disney has to do is snap its fingers, and somehow Ron DeSantis will lose re-election. I cannot emphasize how out of touch these people are on the cultural balance of the fights that Ron DeSantis intelligently picks. Disney cannot leave Florida. There is no exit strategy. And all of the people imagining they'll simply relocate Disney World to what, Sacramento, are living in a fantasy world. DeSantis has them well and truly over a barrel. They will squeal in public, but acquiesce in private. I never liked Watchmen, but the line is opposite. DeSantis isn't locked in Florida with Disney. Disney is locked in Florida with him. World's tiniest violin commences playing. And that is this issue in a nutshell. If you say to these companies, okay, let's challenge that. This is how you feel. You're so horrified. Act on that. Let's see how far you'll go for your woke missions. They won't go that far. They just want to put up a fight. They're like rhinos, you know? They just want to say, our hands are tied. Oh, but we really hate this. We really hate this bill. No. Let's see how much you hate it. If it means that much to you, do something about it. And they won't. And now they're going to embarrass themselves even more. Last year when we offered the Eden Pure BioSpeed Clean Vac, it sold out in no time flat. Here are some of the reasons why. Number one, it weighs only 6 pounds. That is one-third the weight of some other vacuums, so it's a lot easier to move it around your home and carry it up the stairs. Number two, also when we talk about carrying vacuums up the stairs, this is cordless, which makes it faster for you to get the job done, doesn't get wrapped in things, doesn't unplug, it's very easy to use. Number three, it has a mini brush attachment that I love for my car and sofa. Number four, it costs almost $200 less than comparable brands. And number five, it doesn't take up a lot of closet space. Plus, it is bagless, which of course saves you time and money. Spring is here, so spring cleaning is here too. Don't wait for the Eden Pure BioSpeed Clean Vac to sell out. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACECLEAN to save an additional $15. Shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACECLEAN. We will be right back with Howie Carr and the Grammys recap that you have all been waiting for. This is the Grace Curley Show.
That's the truth.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth. They take care of you when you buy or lease a vehicle and after. Service is easy with their convenient drive-thru, and Toyota of Portsmouth service uses genuine Toyota parts. Schedule an appointment at toyotaofportsmouth.com. Howie Carr joins me now for the car crossover. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Howie.
Thank you for having me, Grace.
And the listeners have been waiting all day for this. Give us your recap of the 64th Grammy Awards.
A lot of people that I'd never heard of or didn't or don't care to have known won some big awards, and the ratings are going to set, when they come out later today, are going to set an all-time low.
Yeah, I guess that could be a recap of every year. All right, Howie, I want to play a little bit here of Joe Biden, because I know you're going to get to a lot of this, but he was outside the White House for an announcement today, and he's a car guy, he's a truck guy, and he told a story. And I don't think I'm going to have time for both, but I would like to play you part one of Joe Biden's truck driving story. This is Cut 16.
I got a commercial license because my dad used to run an automobile agency. And I used to have to go up to the body shop up in Philadelphia from Wilmington. And when they'd order a trailer or a cab, they'd sell the cab. And so I had to have a license to be able to drive it up and back. And so during the trucker strike years later, when I was a young senator, there was a guy who ran steel from Deamer Steel out to Ohio. And so I decided to ride out with him, see what it was like on the strike. And I was driving, going through Shiloh, Ohio. And his handle was Big Ten.
Big Ten?
Turns out we do have time for part two, Howie, if you're enticed enough to listen.
So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time.
Let's have truck driving story part two.
And remember, everybody, all the truck stops were being blockaded at the time during the strike. And he called and he said, Big Ten wanting to come in. I forget exactly how he said it. And the only woman truck driver ever knew I met that day, she said, this is Big Mama, no room. Swear to God, true story. Swear to God. He said, I've got a United States Senator driving my truck. She said, I got the damn president in mind, so what? I'll never forget that. I was a very powerful guy. Anyway, that was the first woman trucker I met.
Oh, boy. And it only, I'm sure, the speaking engagement only
got better.
So
did he say he was
there.
Riding in the truck, or did he say he was driving the truck again?
You know, Howie, I'd have to listen to it again, and my gig here is almost up, so that's going to be up to you. You can listen to it all day long.
Because in the past, he said that he's driven the truck.
Yeah, but the fact checkers couldn't find that.
That's when he wasn't a school bus driver, too.
Yeah,
I don't know that he's... Can we do a little research and find out if he's ever had a CDL? Like, I'm thinking no.
So the fact checkers that I'm familiar with have tried to find, you know, and they've prayed. They've hoped that there was evidence of him driving a truck at some point in his illustrious career. It's come up with nothing. But they do say he did drive with a woman in a truck. So maybe he's learning to kind of go back to this story, which has a little, at least an element of truth, Howie.
A little element of truth.
Yes, a little element. There's so many more cuts. Howie's going to get to those today. He also has Hate Mail Monday in the show today. We've got a lot of great stuff planned. I didn't even get to everything because there's so much news. So we'll save some of it for tomorrow. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow at 12. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Let me pull this out.